All right, folks. Praise the Lord.
Any testimonies before we get going? Praise the Lord. If not, let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke. Luke in the 9th chapter. Luke chapter 9. We have an incredible passage here this morning. And as I was reading through this week, I discovered something incredible. Before we begin reading, I want to speak to you this morning on staying on the mountain. Staying on the mountain. Look with me in Luke chapter 9. And look at verse 28. Of course, this is the Mount of Transfiguration. In verse 27, the Lord tells his disciples that some of them standing there would not die until they saw the kingdom of God. And he meant what he said, because in the next verse, we read, and it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he, Jesus, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Beloved, before we pray, and as we come down through these verses, the Holy Spirit, it appears, has put into this passage somewhat of a plan, a formula, for you and I to be staying on the mountain with Jesus. I want to talk to you about that this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for this incredible scripture. Lord, we thank you that this is an historical event, not a parable. And Lord, we thank you that within the context of these precious verses, the Holy Spirit has indeed inserted some incredible truths for us to glean today. And Lord, we're so thankful that your word is alive. We're so thankful, Lord, that your word is active in our daily lives. It's practical. Lord, it shows us how to, if you will. And we're thankful for it, Father. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal to us the truths that you want us to know from these verses today. In this message, Lord, open up our eyes and give us spiritual enlightenment and understanding in these things. We thank you ahead of time for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Beloved, as you know, I was saved on October 3rd, 1986. And I remember how precious it was to know that finally my sins were forgiven. My past was now gone. My soul was now redeemed. And heaven was now my home. Everything was now glorious. Jesus was my personal Savior. And all was bright and beautiful. But very shortly after that, I found myself in the midst of a battle. I found myself under attack from an unseen enemy, that is the devil. And then because I had not yet grown spiritually, I began to live what I term roller coaster Christianity. One day I'd be way up on the mountaintop. One day I'd find myself in the deepest valley of despair. Up and down, hot and cold, in and out, on and off, in the spirit-filled abundant life that Jesus promised to give. And I couldn't figure out why. So I began a diligent quest to find out how to stay on the mountain with Jesus. Amen? And I believe this is the true desire of every child of God. We just need to discover how we need to do that. I wanted more than anything else to abide in Him and enjoy that sweet, blessed fellowship and Holy Communion every day. And folks, if we're honest with ourselves, I'm sure that every single one of us can say that we too have found ourselves going up and down, hot and cold, in and out, to and fro, in our experience, in our Christian walk. So today I want to preach briefly on staying on the mountain. And I believe that God's Word here in Luke chapter 9 is giving us the keys to do just that. So follow me and learn first that if you and I are going to stay on the mountain with Jesus, we're first going to have to allow Jesus to take us up the mountain. Amen? Look with me in verse 28. In verse 28 we read, "And it came to pass, about in 8 days after these things, He, Jesus, took Peter and James and John and went up into a mountain to pray." All glory to God. I love my first point here this morning, because if we're going to be staying up on the mountaintop with Jesus Christ in our Christian life, we're going to have to allow Him to take us by the hand up on top of that mountain. Amen? First of all, Jesus has to take you up. I tried and tried and tried to climb up that mountain. I couldn't do it. But I've discovered that if I just let Jesus take me by the hand, glory to God, I can get there. Jesus took them up onto the mountain to pray. I love it. Go hold your place in Luke and go back to Deuteronomy quickly. I want to show you another fellow that went up into the mountain with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, an incredible verse here. In Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Look with me in Deuteronomy 10. Verse 1, "At that time the Lord said unto me," Moses speaking, "Hew thee 2 tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me." Time out. Notice verse 1. God says to Moses, "Come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark." Now, Moses obeys, and he gets the tables, and he goes up the mount. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. Moses says, "And I," what? "Stayed in the mount." Oh, I love it. Moses went up in the mount, and Moses stayed in the mount. You know how long Moses was in the mount? Yep, 40 days and 40 nights. And I was wondering, why 40, Lord? That's a while. And you know, he didn't eat, and he didn't drink. He had something better to do. He was with God. He didn't come down for 40 days because he was having a good old time with the Lord. Amen? Listen, verse 10, "And I stayed in the mount, according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee." He got his prayer answered. Why? He stayed in the mount with the Lord. Glory to God. You and I, to be staying on the mount, beloved, we need to first allow the Lord to take us up on that mount. But secondly, this morning, I see something else we need to do. If you and I are going to be staying on the mountain with Jesus, we're going to have to learn how to pray with Jesus. Amen? Look again at verse 28. "And it came to pass, about 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray." Wow! I love it. In order for you and I to be staying up on the mountain with Jesus, we need to learn to pray with Jesus. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Jesus took them up into the mountain, and he wanted to have a prayer summit. Amen? And Jesus was going to lead the prayer. And this is what you and I need to do. We need to get together with Jesus and let him lead us in prayer. We need to learn to pray with Jesus. Amen? A lot of times we get, you know, we're so desirous of getting things from God. "Lord, give me this and give me that. Lord, bless me here and bless me there." Instead of praying with Jesus and then praying according to God's will, we get selfish in our prayers. And I like this because they stay up on that mountain and pray with Jesus. That's what we need to do. Church, we need to pray with Jesus, and that is according to God's will. Look in Luke chapter 22. Hold your place in 9 and go to chapter 22 for a moment. Oh, I love this. Praying with Jesus. In Luke chapter 22. And look with me at verse 39. Verse 39. "And he," Jesus, "came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Oh, I love that. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. They were out of it, man. They weren't praying, but Jesus, they were sleeping. And beloved, I'm afraid. Look, it says, verse 46, Jesus said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Folks, I'm afraid that the church of Jesus Christ today is asleep spiritually. They're not awake and praying with Jesus. Half of them are out there fishing, doing their own thing. And folks, we need to get together with Jesus. He wanted his disciples to come into Gethsemane and have a prayer meeting with him. Amen? He wants the same thing today. He wants us to pray with him. Glory to God. I'm so glad. I remember in Colorado, we're on the mission field, and it's about 1997, we had a prayer summit on top of a mountain that was 13,000 feet above sea level. And that's pretty big, but we have much bigger. In Colorado, we have 42 peaks above 15,000 foot. Okay, that's a lot of mountains. But this mountain was way up there, and it was like June. It was June-ish. We had this, all the missionaries, we got together, we said, we're going to go on top of this mountain, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray that the Lord would do something in this area, right? So we get up to the top of the mountain, and it wasn't easy. You couldn't go up without four-wheel drive. And we finally get up to the top of the mountain, and man, it was incredible. There was snow up on the mountain. Where, you know, it was like 82 degrees down on the ground. You get up there, it's snow. Anyways, we had our prayer summit. We had a bunch of folks, guy blowing the shofar, and we had a good old time with Jesus. Never forget, because in the middle of that prayer meeting, we had over 100 people, by the way. Over 100 people on top of the big mountain there. And this little boy, he's about two and a half maybe. And I was looking at the little boy, right? And his mom is over there telling him, Joe, you be good, you be good. And here he goes. Now, this mountain, mind you, comes down like this, right? The summit where we're at comes down like this. And then there's a drop-off of 4,000 feet. 4,000 feet. Of course, there's no, it's a mountain. There's no guardrails, right? Nobody goes up there, right? This little boy, he got up there, and he's running around. And I'm watching him, you know. Boy, I hope his mom watches that in pretty close. And all of a sudden, he makes a beeline for the edge. He's 50 feet from the edge. And he starts going. I mean, he was bold, man. And he got to the edge of that thing. And he leaped. And I said, he's dead? And I turned around and I saw him leap. And I said, no! Just like that. You know what happened? The kid hit an invisible wall. And he landed on his back. An angel hit that boy and put him back on the mountain. He was dead, man. He was over the cliff. I kid you not. Mary, did you see that little boy? Yeah, she saw it. Oh, a bunch of people saw it. And it was, when we were praying with Jesus in the mountain, his angels were wound about us, taking care of everything. Amen. When you pray with Jesus in the mountain, he will supply your need. Thirdly, if you and I are going to stay on the mountain with Jesus, we're going to have to learn to see Jesus as he truly is. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 of Luke 9. And as he, Jesus, prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Glory to God! He began to show himself for who he truly is to his disciples. Folks, if we're going to stay in the mount with Jesus, we need to learn to see Jesus as he truly is. Oh, these people go around and name the name of Christ, and they think he's a jack-in-the-box that they can pull out when they need him and stuff him back in there until the next time. He's not like that. Jesus is God. He's glorious. He's white and glistering. Amen? And he gave him a glimpse of his glory in that mount. Oh, how we need to see him as he truly is. Go, hold your place there. Go to Revelation for a moment. Someone else got a glimpse of this glorious king. In Revelation chapter 1, Look with me at verse number 10. The apostle John, who happened to be in that Mount of Transfiguration, sees him again. Verse 9, I, John, whom also your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. It's Jesus. Amen. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not! I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He saw Jesus for who he really is. And folks, how we need to get a glimpse of this great Savior that we serve. He's awesome. There's nothing like him. Amen. The world says, oh, come on over here, we'll make you happy. The flesh says, oh, take care of me and I'll make you happy. The devil says, oh, come on, serve me. But Jesus says, come up in the mount. I'll take care of everything. Amen. Oh, we need to see him as he truly is. Fourthly, if we're going to be staying on the mountain with Jesus, we're going to have to let go of Moses and the law. Look with me in verse 30. Look at it. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. Verse 33, and it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Oh, how they wanted to cling to Moses! Let him go! We need to let go of Moses if we're going to stay in the mount with Jesus. These people walk around saying, you're not right with God if you don't keep Sabbath. First of all, there is no Christian Sabbath. The Sabbath day was never changed. Where'd you get that? It's not in the Bible. The Sabbath is still for the Jews. This Sunday, worshiping the Lord is not a Sabbath, folks. They want to be Sabbath keepers. And then they accuse you of, oh boy. What I'm saying to you is we got to let Moses go if we want to stay with Jesus in the mount. Listen carefully. In John 1 and verse 17, the Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so glad for that grace and truth. I'm so glad that I'm not under the bondage of the law of Moses. I'm so glad that Moses is dead. Jesus is alive. Fifthly, if we're going to be staying on the mount with Jesus, we'll have to let go of Elijah. What's he represent? Divine judgment. Elijah was the prophet of judgment and wrath. Listen, folks, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In 2 Kings chapter 1, don't turn there, Elijah was confronted by 50 of Ahab's strongest soldiers. And he's sitting up there on a rock. And they say, come down here. Ahab wants, the king wants to work with you. And he says, if I be a prophet of the Lord, let fire come down from heaven and devour these 50. Boom! There's a mound of 50, right? And Ahab sends, he's stubborn. He sends another 50 armed soldiers to confiscate and incarcerate Elijah. And he says, he's up on the rock still. Come on down! Nope. If I be a prophet of the Lord, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee. Boom! They're dead. Burnt up. He sends a third company of 50 to Elijah, right? Listen, Elijah represents the wrath and condemnation and judgment of God. You know what? It's gone. We do not suffer the wrath of God. We have no condemnation. We're free. Glory to God. I'm so glad that we can let go of Elijah. Elijah, yes, he was a powerful man of God. They're comforted, by the way. They said, please don't hurt us. Please don't hurt us. He said, okay, you got it. I wonder if you don't want me to. Look at that in verse 30. Behold, they talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, the law and condemnation. Verse 33, and it came to pass, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. They didn't get it. You don't need anybody else but him. Amen. Sixthly, if we're going to be staying on the mount with Jesus, we're going to have to remember what he did for us. Look with me in verse 31. Speaking of Moses and Elijah who appeared in glory and spake of his, Jesus, decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. You know what Moses and Elijah pointed these boys to? The cross. They said, guys, don't look at us. Never mind when I went up in the mountain, came down with the two tables of stone. Elijah, never mind when I burnt up those 50 and those 50. They said, look at him. Look at what he's going to do for you in Jerusalem. That's what I want you to focus on. Amen? If we're going to be staying in the mount with Jesus, we're going to have to remember what he did for us. And I'm so glad we have the Lord's table, and it's a precious service because we remember. We remember. We love him for what he did for us. We'll never forget. We'll never forget what he did for us. Glory to God. Look at chapter 22 again. Luke 22. Oh, I love this. An inauguration takes place of a commemoration. In Luke 22, look at verse 14. Verse 14, and when the hour was come, wow. He was waiting for this hour his whole life. He sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus says, I'm doing this for you because I love you so much. Folks, we need to be remembering what Jesus did for us if we're going to stay in that holy mount. But I see something else. Seven. If we're going to be staying in the holy mount with Jesus, we're going to have to be spiritually awake and alert. Look at verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. They're out. Napping. They're totally unconscious of what Hey, can I ask you a question? Jesus is transfigured. Moses and Elijah appear. I mean, there's a great cloud coming down from heaven. And they go to sleep? Guys, wake up! Folks, this is a picture of the church today. We are not popular. In case you haven't noticed. Because the church is asleep. This is Laodicea. Lukewarm. He'll spew thee out of thy mouth. Listen, folks, he wants us to be spiritually awake and alert. He wants us to know what's coming down the pike. He wants us to be ready for the sound of the trumpet. He wants us to be telling people about him. And folks, in order to do that, we need to be awake spiritually. We need to be alert spiritually. Glory to God. Look with me at chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Look at this verse. Verse 35. Jesus instructs his disciples, let your loins be girded about. Now we know in the scripture, the loins represent the mind. Amen? Let your loins be girded about. He wants you to be alert. And your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily saying to you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Jesus says, I want my people to be ready. Now we know doctrinally that's speaking of the Jews. We're up there having the wedding feast with the Lord. Glory to God, during the 7-year tribulation. This is a second advent context. But the spiritual application is for us. Amen? We need to be ready. We need to be alert. We need to be awake. Eighthly, if we're going to be staying on the mount with Jesus, we're going to have to realize how good it is to be there. Oh, man. Look at verse 33. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Oh, now you're speaking truth, Peter. It is good for us to be here. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that there is no gooder place, as they say down south, to be than with Jesus. It's a good place to be. It's the best place to be. There is no greater place that you can be than with Jesus. Amen? Look with me in Luke. Look with me in Luke chapter 10. Look at this verse. Flip the page. You'll be in Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That's a good thing to do. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus said, Martha, it's better for her to sit at my feet and hear my word than to make some feast. We can skip a meal. Amen. This is much more important. And then Martha understood. Oh, yes, indeed. It is good to be with Jesus. If we're going to stay on that mount, we need to learn how good it is to be there. Oh, folks, there's nothing like it. But eighthly, ninthly, if we're going to be staying on the mountain with Jesus, we're going to have to learn to overcome fear. Look at verse 34. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they what? Feared as they entered into the cloud. Now, time out. They have Jesus Christ manifesting his glory. Moses and Elijah, a cloud from heaven. And the Bible says in verse 34, and they feared. Boys, wake up. You've got nothing to fear when Jesus is near. Amen? They feared for no good reason. We need to learn to overcome our fear because Jesus is with us and he won't let anything happen to us. Matthew chapter 17. We have another passage concerning the transfiguration in Matthew 17. It sheds a little bit more light on this particular verse. Look in Matthew 17. And look with me at verse number 5. It says in Matthew 17, verse 5, while he, Jesus, yet spake, behold. Now, time out! Verse 5, Jesus is speaking. When Jesus is speaking, you don't have to fear anything. Just listen to his voice. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Not a dark cloud, a bright cloud. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Guys, stop it. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. I love it, the fact that my Savior comes to me. When I got a problem, and I'm concerned, and I get a little anxious, the Lord puts his hand on me and says, Bob, be not afraid. Don't you fret. Don't you worry. I'm here with you. I'll take care of that problem. Glory to God. We need to overcome fear to stay on that mountain with Jesus. But tenthly, if we're going to be staying on the mountain with Jesus, we're going to have to learn to hear his voice. Look at verse 35, Luke 9, verse 35. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. There's only one thing your Father wants from you. He wants you to hear the voice of His Son. Amen? That is it. That is the whole Christian life in a nutshell, if I can give it to you. Hear ye Him. Period. Don't hear Wolf Blitzer on CNN. Don't hear Professor So-and-so over here. Don't hear the teachers of the New Age movement. Just hear Jesus. Just hear Jesus, and Jesus will take care of everything. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we have a further account of this Mount of Transfiguration. Turn with me quickly to 2 Peter chapter number 1. And look at this verse. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, we have the apostle rehearsing what occurred in that mountain. Watch what he tells us in verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, this is 2 Peter 1:15, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Why, Peter? For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses. Notice the plurality there. There was a bunch of them. Eyewitnesses of His Majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we, what? Heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Notice again, we were with him in the Holy Mount and we heard that voice. Oh, beloved. I'm telling you this morning that in order for you and I to be staying on the mountaintop, we need to be hearing that voice. Oh, that voice is so sweet. Oh, that voice is so precious. That voice is so comforting. Amen? There's nothing like His voice. His voice will change you forever. But finally, 11, if we're going to be staying on the mountain with Jesus, we're going to have to learn to focus on Jesus alone. Verse 36. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Now, here's what I want you to see. In order for you and I to be staying on the mountain with Jesus, we need to focus in on Jesus alone. You know what our problem is? We get so focused on the wrong things, and our mind wanders. Now listen, this happens by nature to all of us. If we're not focused on something, our mind will drift, and our mind will get somewhere it's not supposed to be. But when we learn to focus on Jesus, everything just seems to fall into place. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 26 in closing. Here is a most incredible verse. It's a promise of God who cannot lie. Isaiah chapter 26. What a powerful text this is. Look what he says. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. Oh, this is great stuff. And this is the prophet speaking to God. Thou, Lord, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Here we have again the statement that this person has his mind, his attention, his focus on the Lord God of Israel. And guess what? He's kept in perfect peace. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you, I love how Ellie calls it paying attention on purpose. Amen? Paying attention on purpose. We need to pay attention and focus in on Jesus Christ. And everything else will work itself out just fine. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Focusing in on Jesus. Paying attention to Jesus. Amen? That's what we need to do. I love it. You know what I believe? I believe that the devil is having a field day with the Church of Jesus Christ today in these last days because he's got them down off the mountaintop, off doing this and off doing that, and they're too busy for Jesus. Folks, it's simple. It's not a complicated, it's not rocket science. We need to be with Jesus. And we need to stay on that mount with him. Glory to God. The Greeks had one race in their Olympic Games. You know the Bible speaks of the Olympics. They originated in Greece about 2,000 years ago. They had one race that was unique. The winner of this race was not the runner who finished first. It was the runner who finished with his torch still lit. You know what Jesus wants us to do? He wants us to carry the gospel torch, burning of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and carry it through this world of darkness and carry it for Jesus. Amen? And we can do that by the grace and the power and strength of His Holy Spirit within. And all we need to do is stay. I don't know about you, but I want to stay in that holy mount with Jesus until I hear that trumpet blow. Amen? There's nothing more important for you and I but to be staying on that mountain with Jesus. You'll never be the same. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning. How we thank you, Lord, that we can stay in the mountain with you. Lord, how we thank you for taking Peter and James and John, the three of the inner circle, those who sought you, those who leaned on your breast, those who sat at your feet, those who worshiped you. You took them up into that holy mount, Lord, and you revealed your glory to them. And Lord, how we thank you that you desire to take each and every one of us today up into the holy mount to be with you, to see your glory, to hear your voice, to cleave to you, to pay attention, to focus on you, and to walk with you. Lord, this is your heart's desire for every one of your children. And Lord, it seems there's few that be that find it. Father, we just ask you today to bless your word, and Lord, to help us in these last days of the last days to be staying in the mount with Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask it with thanksgiving, and the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.